Hello and welcome in to episode 297 of Caithness Craft Collective. I was just waiting to see where that music went to there. Sorry, I was getting a bit carried away. It was quite nice. I am Louise, your host, and it's just me and the noisy downstairs family today. So get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack's been in Caithness this past, not almost month. Oh, a little bit of interlude, I think. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing with my music just now. Right, so this episode, I'll have What's a Crack, the Hello section, a wee book review, and the me section. Like I say, get your cup of tea or your dram. And hopefully you're knitting your craft and you're crocheting, you're needle punching, you're ironing, or possibly you're gardening, because it is now springtime in the far north of Scotland. And therefore we plant things in the spring. Right, What's a Crack. So, huge thanks to Louise of Woolwork Podcast. Last episode for having a nice shared episode. I've had some really lovely comments back here and saying it was nice to hear her voice again. And actually I'm going to address something that I listened to it on the way home on the ferry. And I waved when I had told myself to wave. So if you're on the bus, ferry, train, car, only if it's safe to do so, or you're just walking along, have a wee jaunty wave. I can't even remember why we do that anymore, but put your hands up. And Louise had said that, oh, there was only one time that we fell out. I don't actually remember falling out with her. Which then leads me to sort of say, you know how on one side I'm saying, well, our actions, people will remember them, and you sometimes just have no clue that your actions have had any effect on somebody else. Well, I obviously didn't have enough of a clue that my actions had affected her. So Louise, I am sorry if I upset you. It was not my intention. I just know that I didn't think you would suit that jumper. But now looking at it, I'm not actually sure what if I knew what I was talking about, because you probably would. Just do you to listen to me. And also we did cheat and we got all the anagrams for that sewing thing, and I gave it to my mum for a wee bit of a crack and a huge special smile, because that's what I said who would get it if they told us what the ones that we were stuck on, to the lovely Nora of Silver Spring Knits over in Washington DC. Big smile, that's me smiling, who said it was leather and organza, the ones we were stuck on. I have to say, by the time that we went through, because I did an anagram cheat on my phone, I hadn't heard of a couple of them fabrics. Louise had some of them, and she came up with some of them, and I was like, I don't even know what that is. But it didn't have cotton, so it was a really, really quite good fun little thing. And for giving a pound to charity and hopefully whatever, I can't remember what it's for now, somewhere in Orkney. Thank you. And I just hope that other people who do these lovely little quizzes that you pick up in the butchers or the bakers or the candlestick makers or in the library or wherever you are, just go for it, because there's often it'll give you a little bit of fun. I had a really, really lovely weekend, went and got the ferry the next day, got home, and it was really nice. And I'm trying to think, there was something else that I didn't mention on that episode, but I can't quite remember where it is right now, so it'll maybe come back to me and I'll go, oh, that was it. So, we're in the Easter holidays now in Caithness. It was an absolutely beautiful day on Saturday and Sunday. The blue sky was out. It was a little bit cold, but it was blue sky and it was reasonably warm. Today, not so much. Quite windy, dull, little tiny bit of drizzle. But because we had such a beautiful day on Saturday and Sunday, it's kind of, it's so nice. But if it starts raining today, tomorrow, we'll be like, wasn't that bad yesterday, actually, was it? And on Sunday, I struggled, but I did it, an Easter 10K run down in Wick with the Wick Triathlon Club. We're absolutely stags to go up to the North Head Lighthouse and back again. We get special permission to open up the gate and to make the distance. We can run up and do a wee circle up the top. And it kind of goes uphill a fair bit. And then, well, it goes up, and then it goes down, and then it goes back up, and then it goes down, and then it goes back up, and then you have to do it all in reverse. And the marshals were like, "Well, it's all downhill from now," and I was like, "It's not." And they were like, "Oh, I'll give up you." And then I says, "I know it's not because I've had that lie told to me before, and that's exactly the lie that I would have said to somebody who looked like they were struggling." But I very much appreciated they gave me time because I was last. I hadn't trained hard enough, and I probably wouldn't have been last if I had, for my time is normally a good 10 minutes quicker than that. But in the end, I finished it. I got to speak to some really lovely runner friends who I haven't seen for a while, and I have now got a new medal. And also was getting back into doing running, so that was quite good. But no, it was. It was. Oh, I know what it was I was going to mention when I was in Orkney. I don't know if we did mention it, but we went into the Orkney Library. And if you remember from the Twitter days, because I'm not on Twitter anymore, I still registered Twitter, so there will be a Caithness Craft Collective account there somewhere that doesn't seem to be very active. And part of it is because we had to log in or do something, and I ignored them because I don't like Elon Musk. And the other day I went in to check what the road was because I really only use it for the A9. And says, "That's not your name." And I was like, "Well, that is my name. Which, that's not my name." And the ting tings. I've come back onto why I'm saying that. And it wouldn't let me log in, so I went, "Stuff it." So I'm not on Twitter or X really anymore. But Orkney Library have great banter, or used to have great banter on Twitter. And I went in, and it's a really, really good library. It has loads of stuff. It's got like loads of jigsaws that you can rent. There's jigsaws sitting out. It seems to be a new-ish thing in libraries. I say new. Newish, maybe in the past 3 years up in my area that we've had jigsaws out, and I quite like a jigsaw. Mum and I did a jigsaw at Christmas. I got one for Christmas, and then Mum carried on doing them because it was something that she could do because she couldn't knit out of her broken wrist. She's back driving now, and she's still doing some physio, but she isn't allowed to pick up very heavy things. But she can pick up her pan of soup now, as long as it's not the big pan. Because that's what the nurse said to her. Neil goes, "Now, Zelia, mind and no pick up that big pan of soup." Oh. Anyway, so we went into Orkney Library and it was really, really good. And I was sort of mentioning jigsaws to Louise, and very lovely Louise sent me a jigsaw in the post. So I did a really nice jigsaw, and this is by Talking Tables. I think it's like the publicist or the maker of them. I'm saying publicist because I'm looking at a book and it's publisher. And it was the harbour puzzle. And the hard bit was, as usual, the sea and the sky, because it was very solid colours and I was basically just going by shape and a very slight shade change. And then some of the bits would fit ever so slightly, but you knew it wasn't quite right. So then you like fiddle around, and I got the border wrong at one point, and then somebody swimming was in the wrong place. But the rest of it was really good fun, quite easy to do. 1,000 piece, much enjoyed it. So thank you, Louise. You gave me and the family some fun. And the bairns have got their exams next month. Lovely Ella will be doing possibly, her invigilation again. And so my parents are doing a lot of studying. So today it was modern studies and physics and maths and I think a bit of engineering science as well is going in there between them. So tomorrow's going to be me, English. That's where I come in to pull out the mummy teach. So I'm just doing other domestic stuff because we can't really go on holiday just now with one thing and another. So today also I made some fire lighters from some pine cones that I had collected when I was in Donnet Forest a little while ago and had outside to dry out. And this is where you get some like candle wax. You know, you get these lovely big candles and then you burn the wick down and if you don't do it properly, you often have the wick burnt down with wax being come down. And there is a way that you can make your wax all go down the same time as your wick. I think you have to put foil around it the first time you use it, and then it goes down steadily as opposed to going down in a funnel. So, another way to get your wax out of your glass jars is put them in the freezer and then they just kind of pop out. You could heat it up as well, which I've seen done in a sort of a bain marie, is that what they call it? Where you put something into a pan of hot water and melt the thing in the middle. You do that, you know, like with cooking chocolate. Is it a bain marie? I don't know, you're shouting at me. Yes or no? So you could do that as well. And then you fire it all down. You just melt all the wax down. And then pour it over some cones. And then I put the cones into some egg boxes. And some of the fluff from the lint from my tumble dryer gets kept aside. And it gets shoved into the egg cartons. And then the wax gets poured over there. And they make really, really good fire lighters. And it would be nice to think that I was coming to the end of using the fire, but listeners, I'll be using it fire till June. I live in the north of Scotland and it's always cold. Because the jumper I'm knitting that I'll come on to tell you about later on, I say, oh, by the time I finish this, it's going to be summertime. And I'm like, no, keep cracking on, Louise, keep cracking on, you'll get there. Oh, by the time I finish this, I'll not need these long sleeves. And then I'm like, don't be so stupid. It is Keithness and it's always cold. Except for that old day in July and possibly August. And we had such a good summer last year, I very much doubt we'll get the same crack this year. So that is, no, it's not what's a crack. So also I have found a really cool person Instagram and she does sort of more reels, so she does little videos, and she's called Needle on Needle, and she's Dolly Leishram Birdwadge. I don't think that's how I pronounce her last name, I do apologise. And she's made the really cool Mandrinka scarf, and it's coming out next week, and it's the technique that I like, because she does, I think people that do knitting YouTube videos or reels or TikToks, how they must have this setup, they must have one of these fancy setups for their phone to record what they're doing, because I don't think they're holding it in their teeth, their phone, and they're just knitting away, and they've got their nails all done lovely, and they've got their table all nice and clear. This is never going to be me, listeners. So she has this really cool stitch in the pattern, and I think she uses two skeins of yarn. One's a variegated and one is a plain colour. And she'll pick up a stitch from the variegated in the plain colour, like four rows down, and then she'll pick it up, she'll put it back onto the left needle, she'll knit it, and then she'll take the next stitch up, and then she'll knit them back and forward. And they create this really, really cool texture stitch. Don't know if I've seen this one before, and I really love it when I see a new texture to me stitch. I know that they're pretty much have always been out there, but I haven't come across this one yet. And I love Maddie Harvey's work because her work has this kind of, there's often a different interesting stitch, like in the Amma sweater, the yoke, it's over the front of it and you do three together and it just looks quite interesting. And then her Zastruga shawl, which I have the yarn to make, it's got all different techniques and textures throughout the different sections of the shawl. So I'm always very interested when I see somebody doing something a little bit different. I think, I like that technique. That looks interesting. So I think that's coming out next week. So I'm hoping I'm going to get that. I've no idea what yarn I've got to go. I think I'll have to look at the shawl first and the pattern details to see if I've actually got it. So that could be in next episode. There's been a few people that have ceased trading on people in the yarn business and actually in the fabric business as well. Bolts and no, it's Buttons and Bolts. She's ceasing online trading, which is a shame because she does have some quite nice buttons and stuff on there. And Travel Knitler has ceased trading. I bought some. I need a big red light, listeners. I just got interrupted by my lovely husband bringing me a cup of tea. And I had told him I was upstairs. And you see, I did pause there and I said, "Did you not hear me talking?" And he was, "No, I was listening too." But I had to forgive him because he brought me tea. I have completely forgotten where I was. Oh, Travel Knitter. Oh, lovely Travel Knitter. I met her a couple of times at some shows. And she has sadly ceased trading. Sadly for us, but I'm hoping that her change is good change, because we have to look forward sometimes as well as back. And she's always a sense of, oh, I used to really love watching what inspiration she'd come up with. And she'd been to Skye and she had dyed some yarn in the colours of puffins. So I bought some a set of minis and it's got grey, black, red, and I think it's like a cream as well. So puffin colours. And I'm looking at it going, what am I going to do with that? I haven't quite decided yet. But I'll come on to something more about her in me section. Also, the lovely Leona over the Rusty Ferret sent us an email last week, because I'm on her mailing list, saying that she is ceasing trading. So she's obviously on to her change is a good change. Sad for us, but she's going to do it. And so she's selling down her shop. And she had done a colourway of beautiful greens, speckles, greys, maybe a little bit of black in there, but there's a, it's quite spring-like. And it's called I'm Done. So I really like that. So I bought that and then I bought some British Shetland fluff, fleece, can't remember the word, for doing some spinning with. And it's called the Great Lockdown. And it's not exactly in the same shades as the I'm Done skein, but I just fancy doing a bit of spinning and I don't know if I've got any sort of hank of fluff just now. So I bought that as well because I wanted to support and sort of as a thank you. And also I had made a shawl using Leona's yarn years ago from Edinburgh Yarn Festival, and this is the Fuss Free Festival shawl by Louise Tilbrook, and I wear it quite a lot. And I was thinking when I saw Leona's email and I thought, I'll never get anything kind of like the same. Not that it would be the same because they're all very, very different. But then I thought, no, I'm just gonna treat myself to a wee skein of Leona's yarn. So I did. And I might make another Fuss Free Festival shawl or a Martina Behm type of knit with that shape. Or something like that, but in knit so that the yarn does the talking, because I think that this yarn, well, it reminds me of Leona in the fact that Leona can do the talking, and I really love listening to Leona do the talking. And also Louise and Louise Woolworth, Louise, not Louise Talbot, and Leona and I, and I don't know why we started this. We've got the song, because you know sometimes you have a song. Well, the Ting Tings, That's Not My Name, is our song, and any time we would hear it in the car or on the radio or whatever, we would record ourselves and it would go onto Instagram stories, and they would put tag Leona and tag Louise. I can't remember why it started, but it's now a legend that shall continue forever. So she's written on the order because my PayPal is under my husband's name. I started it, but for some reason or other, it changed over to him when we got married. That's why. It's because it was the same bank account, but the bank name, it was easier just to put it in his name than change my name because it was awkward. And I often wonder, I wonder if they realise that that's me. Not that there's many Hunts up in Caithness, but I always hope that they realise that that is actually me when I'm purchasing stuff from my crafty friends. And she's written on the order, "That's not my name, heart you, L." So thank you, my darling. And it came with a rusty ferret sticker on the package, and I've put the sticker onto my sewing machine, so it shall remind me forever of us and the lovely Leona. And also in a sort of stash down, not closing down sale, but a massive sale, and believe me, you'll be getting some good stuff here. The lovely Erica Eccles is having a massive sale out, and she's doing it for personal reasons. If you read her Instagram, you kind of get why. So if you've ever admired any of her work or her stash, then do go over and support our lovely friend Lisa of Erica Eccles fame. Right, I think we'll have a wee break and I'll have a wee cup of tea here. I mean, just a wee drink of tea, didn't mean the whole cup. But you thought, she's off, she's gone. Hello, section. I would like to say a hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, been with me forever listeners. I haven't said that in a while, so I forgot how to say it. A special hello to Susan B. Anderson. I don't know if she listens anymore, but she did at one point. And I just watched her Instagram story of a second of every day in March. And it was really lovely. She's got so much lovely, lovely, lovely family, and she shares that in her work, and she's just lovely. So, a hello to Susan B. Anderson. A hello to Joy of Thread Mika, who gave us some good advice on the needle punch saga that I had going on last episode. I haven't done anything since with it, to be honest. I did a bit more since I recorded, but I haven't done since I came home. Now, she told me that she uses 12 to 13 count monk's cloth, so that's the correct cloth, on a size 14 punch needle. So I shall stick to that advice and get on with it. And I actually got a book at the library called Punch Needle by somebody who I can't pronounce, but Master the Art of Punch Needle Accessories for You in Your Home. And this is Hardy Grant Publishers. So, special hello to Mika for giving me that advice. Hello to Crazy Knitter Studio, who I really love her Instagram. Hello to Wales, to Diane Hughes, who told me that she has ancestors who were buried in St. Magnus Cathedral graveyard. So I'm sure that we went walked past their grave because we went all over it. Hello to Stripey Squirrel, who enjoyed our Easter adventure. Sorry, not Easter, Orkney adventure. And so did Hannah Simps. And Hannah K. Ross asked if she gets fed when she's in my pocket. And I have told her that she gets three square meals a day. She is very well fed and she's always free to leave if she wants. But I quite like her in there. Hannah K. Ross is one of these people, like a lot of you are, like actually Susan B. Anderson, I'll keep her in the pocket too, who you just feel but big size, because you can't find that piece of blue jigsaw. And you would take your Hannah K. Ross out of your pocket, and then life would be good. And then all of a sudden you'd find your piece of blue jigsaw piece that you needed, and you're perfect. And Hannah K. Ross would go, right, and back in she go. There we go. Right, so that is the hello section. It's quite sleepy, that music, isn't it? So I could have a nap on a Tuesday afternoon if I wanted, because it's Easter holidays. Although, not now. It's getting too close to tea time. That's what it's all about. It's food just now. Right, so we're going to talk about the review, or my review, of Weekend Makes. And this is Stash Knitting 25 Quick and Easy Projects to Make by Emma Osmond. This is purchased. No, it isn't purchased. I got this out of Thurso Library. Thurso Library is different to Orkney Library, and it doesn't have as many craft books in its lending area. It didn't have as many end of stacks as Orkney Library. I'd say our kids sections may be better and fresher. Doesn't have a lending library for jigsaws, but you can do one there. The staff are just as nice. But it's not Orkney Library, which was very, very envious of. I thought it was really, really good. Brilliant library. Almost worth going over to Orkney on a very regular basis to go to the library. But I think libraries are very special. And, yeah. So I got this out of the library, but it costs $14.99. And it has, how many pages? I didn't do this part, I normally used to. 144. That noise is me trying to turn the page. I'm not being windy in my stomach or burping or anything. Right, and when I sort of picked, I've actually had this out before, along with a crochet stash down book. I can't remember who that one was by, but I didn't take it out second time. And I thought, have a wee look. And I wasn't too bothered, because most of the type of books that you get like that, they always have mug rugs and tablet covers. And I'm not interested in mug rugs and tablet covers. You possibly might be, so I don't want to rain on your parade. These have got some quite nice patterns if you're after a mug rug or a Kindle or tablet holder cover. So, you know, there is that. But I was sort of thinking, stash knitting. Ooh, this is good, because I have a sizeable stash and I don't always know what to do with the stuff that I've got. So I thought, I'd take this out. If I had a flick through it, and I had taken it out, I had a very flick through it, and then I thought, actually, I might take that out and talk about it in the podcast. So I did, and I have. So it's got 25 projects. It's got one introduction, and I think that that's what makes this book, is the introduction with the wise words of advice. It then has got a bit of techniques, a sort of cable and tarsia, and then finishing at the back, which I was going to put separate, but do you know, finishing is actually a technique in itself. Hands up, who's not very good at it? Me! I'm not very good at finishing. I do know that you sometimes get finishing techniques workshops, and I really like to go on one of them, just to be able to sew it in very neatly without it then coming to bits, or the bit hanging out, or just lumping. Yeah, I just can't seem to get myself done properly with that. Anyway, so this book, going off subject here, pretend we didn't notice that. Oh, geese. Honk, honk, honk. Actually, there's a short-eared owl that has been hunting around the field opposite us the past week. So now is the time I might see it. Be pretty cool. You only see it sort of this time of year as well. It's quite cool. I'd laugh if I saw that just now. There is a bird hunting over there, but and it's quite long wings on it. Oh, come on, move. I kind of see you now. That'd be so funny. I'm not even making that up. No, can't see it. For the purposes of this podcast, I have just magicked the short-eared owl out of ether, and it showed itself for the purposes of this podcast. Right. The photographs in this, really good. Models, let's see. I think it's all the same model. Of course, she's white, long hair, female, pretty. But, you know, you've got to go with what money you've got. And so it would appeal to me, but maybe if you were of a different ethnicity or body size or a man or a baby or something else altogether, then maybe you wouldn't see yourself in this book. But I personally do. So the graphics in it are actually quite good. So they probably did have money, to be fair, but they maybe just hadn't decided to do that. And I thought, what can you possibly suggest that have not kind of seen before? But what her advice is, and I'm going to paraphrase it, I'm not going to sort of read it word for word, is she was trying to do it within her own designing way, because Emma Osmond is a designer, I think, for Rowan. I can't find her on Instagram, but I could find the, what's it she's in? The Quail Studio lead technical designer. So the whole book uses Rowan. It doesn't actually go, I've got this bit of stash yarn. It does at the start, it's got a whole pile of little pictures of bitties of wool. But if you're a lead designer for Rowan, you're going to have lots and lots of Rowan leftovers, aren't you? So it's probably all Rowan. But she sort of, and you can tell it's been taken from stash because that yarn there is crinkly, like it has been frogged. So even the designer's frog stuff. Hey, there's hope for the rest of us. And they're in scabby little balls as well. They've not been like made into really lovely little balls of little gobstoppers like what Lynn of Woolnest was doing this week. I was just sitting there and she was like, this is the basket of yarn from stash that I'm going to tidy up. And then she showed how to do it and I was just fascinated. Bickle was woofing at a car going up next door's drive, if you heard woofing there. So she's got the wise words are you group into type. So you go for first your textures of fibre. So say you've got wool or cotton or even alpaca, and then it says keep a ball band if you can, or a notebook with a little piece of yarn, because some fibres work differently, like some are stretchy, some are not, so it sort of shows you what your finished fabric is going to be. And then it says if you put it into different thicknesses. Now this is where your ruler, you need your ruler, because then you can work out what weight of yarn is, because you might have been handed a ball, like a bag of wool from somewhere, from someone, or you've found it at the bottom of your stash, or you bought it in a charity shop and you've just got lots and lots of oddments of yarn, but you've no idea exactly what it is. Now, I mean, you can guess, but if you're wanting to do something meaningful with it, then sometimes it's best to actually know what weight it is. So you get your ruler, you wrap it round, and then how many times you can wrap it round, 1 inch, is your wraps per inch, and then that will be able to tell you what weight of yarn it is. There are lots of places on the internet that you can find what weight is for what, like double knit or four ply or super bulky or whatever. Remembering that the UK has different categories for different weights of yarn, but you'll get a better gist in that. And then sometimes you might actually have to do a swatch if you're like one of them proper people that properly knit. But you can always do that. And then it says if you're using whole balls of yarn from your stash, there'll be more than likely be a different yarn which is quoted in the pattern, which is my life, because I very, very rarely use the yarn it is for coated in the pattern. So that is sort of going into the stash, but it also says, well, you'll need to work out how much yardage that you've got, or meterage if you're going metric, which I should have done. So you're, say you're just making a hat, you've got this ball of yarn, and you've still got the ball band, because I can't be bothered working it out otherwise. Listeners. There are ways that you can do that. You can weigh it and sort of work it out there. That sometimes that helps. But also sometimes be prepared to add a stripe in at the end or change your pattern. And also it suggests that you check your dye lots if you've got different balls of yarn, if you've still got your ball bands. So sometimes it's good to keep your ball bands tucked together. And if you're an organised knitter, which, yes, listeners, I know each and every single one of you has got it very well organised. It's like a regimental yarn stash that your ball band will be near or with the yarn. No, mine isn't, but, you know, yours is. So, I quite like the thought of that. And she also suggests that if you have bought a reasonable amount of yarn over your years, or maybe even if you've just started, you're, first of all, you're definitely going to have some yarns left over. Doesn't matter how new you are, you will have a little bit of yarn left over. If you're a little bit longer in the tooth, that you've been knitting for a while, you will have more yarn left over. So you tend to have a theme of colour. You tend to stick to certain colour groups that, you know, will suit you. Or, but then again, maybe you'll have colours that you don't like, but you've been gifted them. Or you think, maybe I do like that colour. Maybe it's just because I've not found it in the... I don't know, listeners, where I'm going with that. But if you're Ella, you'll have purple. Because Ella has purple. And if you're me, you'll have blues and some pinks and also some neutrals. So I would say that some of mine do kind of tend to go together. And I have done that in the past. I've got some sitting. But I have, going to put my hand up, I have got two balls of a beautiful variegated that I don't know what to do with. It's not quite enough to make a whole jumper with, but it's not... it's too much to make just a hat or a pair of socks, so it's always sort of sat there. And then on the other side of things, I've got something that's yellow and pink, and it's just one, but I don't know if I want a yellow and pink hat. So this is kind of why I was like, right, I'll get some ideas of what to do with the stash. So the projects are hats, there's babies stuff, there's hats for babies, booties for babies. There's houseware stuff, like a blanket, two blankets at least. There's cushions. There was a hot water bottle cover, which I was interested in. There was little pots that you make desk tidies, tablet covers, baskets, lavender sashes. And then there's scarves and shawls, a couple of snoods, quite a few hats. And then it lost me in the mug hug because I don't like them. And I remember saying this to someone. I said, I don't like mug hugs. And they're like, I quite like mug hugs. I'm like, no, because I'd have to put it on. And then I'd have to take it off when I was washing the cup. And just no. If I'm going to go outside, I'll just use my travel cup. My thermalated. Thermalated? That's a new word. Thermal travel mug. But if you do mug hugs, then you do your mug hug. This book, you could get this book. Great, use your stash up. Delighted for you. Never give me a mug hug, okay? Right, we've got that. I actually think that's what I would call this episode. Never make me a mug hug. Oh, and the wrist warmers, they're really nice. So, like I say, I've taken this book out twice now. First time was just for a look through, and the second time was to talk to you about it. And I wouldn't buy it, I don't think. I feel like I've got the information I wanted out of it, because she's still a pattern designer and uses rayon yarn. So everything's like one colour. It's not like my stash would be like there has to be loads of stripes because I've only got a certain amount of this. But she does have a. She lost me at the stripey. She lost me at the mug hug, but she got me back on the stripey scarf shawl. So it's, horses for courses. And also, it's given me a little bit more thought on another way to use up some of my stash. Some of it is basically just trawling through the patterns that you're given, or your online patterns, or stuff that you've got printed off yourself. And some of it you still haven't been told by the stuff it is. Some of the stuff, the stash is going to be something, I just haven't finished the garment in front of it in the queue. So that is Weekend Makes Stash Knitting 25 Easy Projects to Make. Now, I actually don't know whether or not you would manage to make that blanket in a weekend. Yes, the basket to put all your other odds and ends in. Definitely the mug hug. Probably the hats. Oh, there's a Doctor Who scarf. I forgot about that. She's used like one big ball of round big wool. And to me, that's a new purchase. So it's not kind of like using up the stash. But the chevron blanket is using up. How many has she got? There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, 8 balls of the hand knit cotton or 3 lightweight yarn. Number 3 lightweight yarn, which I don't actually understand what that means. I would have to then go on to the internet or Ravelry to find out what weight of yarn. So that's maybe another thing that they could have done was this is what we've used to make it look like this. But if you're trying to use up your stash, it is this weight of yarn. So whilst the book ticks quite a lot of boxes, I wouldn't buy it. And it has a little bit of things that could be a bit better, but it's a nice book. The cover on it was falling to bits a little bit, so it's been out a few times. And it is, one more time, Weekend Makes Stash Knitting 25 Quick and Easy Projects to Make by Emma Osmond. Right, now a bit of tea and relaxing music. Right, listeners, I have mentioned that Maddie Harvey, I keep her in my pocket too. I've got big pockets. I'm still making the Ama jumper by Maddie Harvey and using Drops Puma, which was from stash given to me from my lovely, lovely, lovely friend Naomi. And I am almost at the bottom rib. There was one point I was going to keep it dark grey, but because I hadn't taken more dark grey with me to Orkney, I had taken the light beige. I thought, oh well, I will go for the beige. So I did. I changed it over. And just the other night, I was like, I wonder what it would look like with a pink rib at the bottom, pink rib at the neck, and pink rib on the sleeves. I think I'll do that because then that is using up more stash. But I will have to figure out that I've got enough pink yarn. I think I do. I think I should be enough. So I'm cracking on with that, and I'm going to be ribbing, like Bob Marley likes jamming. I'm ribbing, I hope you like ribbing too. I watched his most recent, the film on him, I think it's called One Love. Oh, it was good. I love Bob Marley music, and I like reggae music. I also like punk music. And how true or not it is, I don't think I'll ever know, but I very, very much enjoyed watching it and listening to the music that they had on it, so I would recommend that. Like I said, I did carry on a little bit more with the needle punching, but not an awful lot. I'm just sitting looking at it just now. I took my crochet on holiday to Orkney and took it back again, so I've done no more on the Dunedin crochet. And then I decided that I wanted to make some bunting for my door at work. I was like, I want some spring stuff. I didn't want some Easter stuff because it would have been run out and it wouldn't have been up for very long. I was like, no, I want some spring stuff, Al. And I found a pattern for some daffodils and then thought, oh, that means I'm going to go. And that looks a bit complicated and I don't really want to do that. And then I saw the lovely Ali of Doodles in Wool on Instagram had made some cherry blossoms in cotton. And they are beautiful, Ali, as your stuff always is. So I got out some stash yarn, which I had bought from a charity shop, and it's pink. It's a very pink. And it's acrylic, but it wasn't, well, it probably, if I put it together, I could make something out of it, but I was really delighted with myself using some of it up. So I've made six, which is just enough once it's got its line on in between to hang it up on my door at work. Daisy came in from work and went, "Mom, why have you made nipples?" What? Because the middle of it is bright pink cerise, and then the outer is lighter pink because that's what I had in stash. And I had said to Richard, "Do you think this goes like cherry blossom?" And he went, "Oh yeah, fine." And he was fine when it was in, not looking like a nipple. So then I asked the Karens, big Karen and little Karen, says, "No, it's pretty." And I says, "Well, I'll put it up, but if one of the little darlings at work goes, 'Mrs. Hunt, why have you got nipples on your door?' I will have to take it down." And then I'm like, "Oh, I'm gonna put it up." But then I went shopping and they've got Easter stuff for displays up. And I saw some daisies on a piece of twine and thought, actually, I thought it was on twine, but it weren't. They've just got loops on them. I thought if I put them together with the cherry blossom, that might look okay. So I had some green yarn, and actually, underneath my desk at work, I have got the box of yarn with knit needles. So there was some green in there, so I was using up their stash. And I had been tidying it up because I was in for all that busy one day, and I was just sort of wrapping the yarn because it was getting in a mess. Because that's what sometimes clericals do. Sometimes clericals sew dragon wings back together, and sometimes clericals organize the yarn basket so the children can then go and knit sometimes. So it's now on my wall, it's right on my door, and I heard the teacher say, "Oh, isn't that nice?" And then I had printed out Snoopy Hello Spring Has Sprung with Woodstock, coloured it in, and then we were tidying up the back room and we found some old books that the music teacher used to sing, and it had "Spring has sprung, the grass is red, I wonder where the birdies is." Another two lines which I had forgotten. Do 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 do, fa la la, sweep those old dead leaves away. Now, I thought I'd made this up, but when I saw it in the book, it's like, these are the books that we sing at school. And one of the older teaching assistants, PSAs, said, "Yeah, we used to sing that too. Don't remember that one, but we used to sing all these different songs." And we're like, "Yeah, Yellow Submarine and Beatles songs and stuff." So it was a bit of a trip down memory lane. So I have kept that, put that on my door, and I have got a spring display. But then they did say, "Yeah, it does look like nipples." So I said to the Karens, I says, "Well, you can come in and tell me they look like nipples, but only if there's no children listening at all." So they're up there. They are cherry blossoms, okay, listeners? So spring has sprung in my work. I did tell you that I bought some puffin yarn from Travel Knit for sale, and I was sort of, "What am I going to do with this?" But she, and then it isn't what I'm going to do with it, but there is a really nice pattern that she had knitted up quite a few times, and she used to do kits for them as well. And it's called the Leftover City Cowl by Kaylee Herlick. Oh, I can't read my writing. Herlicky? Litty? Not sure. And it's a kind of like a comb pattern where you've knit two, well, you've got a broad band at the bottom, and then you would knit two one, knit two the other, and then broad band of colour, and then knit two, and then carry on all the way up, and it sort of uses up two colours at the same time but going through different colours. I've always really liked that pattern, so I thought I must sort of put that to my pattern queue. And then I saw a really quite cool pattern called Jaunty by Yumiko Alexander, and I don't know how I found this. I think it was just flicking through Instagram, and it's a top layer jumper using a very light fine grain weight, and you would wear it over a dress. But it's got a really interesting and fun looking pattern because one arm is up at your normal place, and the other arm, where you don't expect your arm to be, down at the waist. But the bit where, because you're still sort of doing the shoulder part, but that sort of lump of yarn drapes and it looks really quite cool. And I think it's a little bit, you have to take a little bit to understand the pattern from reading the comments on it. But from what everybody wears looking in the pictures, I think it looks really cool. So I thought it was quite an interesting pattern to mention. And another interesting pattern that I thought, I'm not sure, and I don't want to sound like I'm being nasty, but this is what you're going to take because this is what I've suggested, that I might sound nasty. So also on the travel knitter, somebody had knitted using her three skeins of, three shades of her yarn, and they had it up on her stand at a yarn show, and it's called the Rumble Raglan Sweater by Lydia Morrow. And I thought it was very similar, it's pattern, two colour pattern work all the way through it, and it was in three colours of blue. And I thought, oh, it's actually quite nice, so looked it up. And then I started reading and looked at the cut pictures and thought, oh. So firstly, it's priced at £15 just for the pattern. And then I thought, wow, I've never bought a pattern for £15. Is that how much they cost now? But below it, it does say, I believe in properly priced patterns. If you can't afford this, please use the code for 66% off or 33% off. But if you can afford it, please pay £15 for the full one. Now, I'm a big believer in paying the right price for the right product, because I do believe that if a pattern is properly tested, properly knit, edited, and is somebody's livelihood, then yeah, £15. But then it said in some of the comments that it wasn't right, so I thought, ooh, I hope somebody's not paid £15 for something that's not properly been tech edited, or the tension isn't right, or there's mistakes in it. That's a bit poor show. However, but I did like how she had the choice of 33% off or 66% off. Now, the one that was on the picture for Travel Knitter was on a coat hanger hanging up. It wasn't being worn. So I was also interested to see what it would look like. And the beauty of the internet is that you can see pretty much somebody who is the same-ish shape as you wearing a pattern before you invest in the money. And bless her, I don't know who the model is, it could be the actual designer. I think it is designed for a curvaceous body and a bigger model. It is a bigger model, and I love the fact it is a bigger model, but I don't think that the cover picture, the colours chosen, flatter the model the best. I think it exasperates the curves not the best of way. Because I love curves, and I know men love curves too. Well, I say, no, that's not a wrong thing to say. People that love curves, okay? You can be whatever you want to be. If you love curves, then that's cool. If you're wearing your curves to show them off, then there is a way to wear them that makes them look the best. And I didn't think that the colours of this made this person look the best, because that's all I could see. And I thought, that's not selling me the pattern, which is really what your front cover of your pattern should be doing. So I flicked through. Some people looked awful, and some people looked actually okay. And then I was trying to find my own shape, and then I thought, no, I don't think that that would choose, that is going to do my curves the best that they can. So I was a bit disappointed because I was like, oh, this is another way to use up some of the stash that I could use. But I did want to just bring it up because I thought there's two things there. There's a very curvaceous model, which I think's great, cool. I think that everybody should be represented, but I do want everybody represented the best that they can be, if that's fair. And it might well be that it was the model, and she is gorgeous. She had cool hair, but the colours of the jumper didn't make her curves look the greatest, and I thought it was a shame. I did quite like the colours, I just didn't think that it was... It just made her look very, very busty. And she might be busty, but... And I don't want her to play them down, I just want her to look, make them look better. Does that sound fair? Because I don't want to sound nasty. I just didn't think it was the best it could have been. Because there was further over, and the fact that I had gone to that pattern page in the first place, I was interested in the pattern. But... And then also the point that it was £15, I thought was interesting to talk about too. So, listeners, moving on. Needless to say, I haven't actually decided what I'm going to do with my puffin yarn. It just shall sit and look at me and stash for a little while yet. I've mentioned the Rusty Ferret and what I've actually been knitting on and crocheting. And my Easter project for me is making a dress out of sewing. And this is the classic jersey dress by Thread Count Pattern, and it's the, well, I love these pattern numbers, names, TC2102. So we sound like we're C3PO again. But I've made this twice before, once for me and once for Daisy, and I bought the fabric from the wee fabric shop in Inverness last summer. I decided that it was too warm a fabric for making in the summer because it's got a fleece to the background of the jersey. And I've only just now gotten around to actually cutting it up. And then I was debating whether I should make it short sleeve or long sleeve. But in the end, the amount of fabric that I have, it has to be elbow sleeve. Because it's going to be quite a warm fabric because it's got a fleece in the back of it. It's kind of a terry toweling type of jersey. But when I was in my Instagram picture, I'm wearing it like a cape. Crusader, like a musketeer. I still don't like D'Artagnan. And I thought, no, this is going to be too warm. So it'll be like a autumny, not quite full winter dress because I don't really wear the dresses. I wear trousers a little bit in January. But I still need dresses September through to November and nowish time. So this should do. So I cut out the pieces the other day. And I shall have now get on with making that in the next few days. But I wanted to talk to you first, listeners, because I always enjoy it. And I love the comments. And it was really nice to see comments from people that haven't messaged for a while or anything on the last episode. Maybe I should just have Louise on all the time. teleport her in. And then add her to do non-editing, which would probably annoy her. She would probably do better show notes than me, because they annoy me. So, you know, I do me, she does her. I don't know where I'm going anymore. Right, listeners, let's go finish our cups of tea, or that she's on your ironing, Ella. And I hope that you have some nice holiday time and get a bit of crafting in, possibly do a bit of bird watching, or a bit of fun with your family, or whatever it is you're doing, keep on crafting. And we'll have a bit of good times to see us out and we can do the bum wiggle. Oh, I heard the most interesting fact today. Apparently, it's not just humans that like fun stuff and have fun, which I kind of thought that anyway. But the scientist today was saying that they left a mouse wheel outside in the wild with a little camera on and lots of animals like to use it. One mouse went for 19 minutes on it. So it's not just like an in-the-lab type of thing or in a cage. And also bees, they found some bees that like to push balls around and play with them, which I was fascinated at, and I wonder if Twinsy Ellen knows about them. Do your bees like to push around the balls before they go to the honey or the sugar to make the honey, Ellen? I'm fascinated about bees. I think that Ellen make a great podcast about bees, wouldn't you, everybody listeners? Not trying to peer pressure you into anything, Ellen, but I just love to hear about you talk. I'm off.